Today's daf is daf Mem Tet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, Mem Chet Omud Beit. Shor shaya mitkaven lechavero, v'hika et ha'isha v'yatzu yiladeha, patur midmei v'ladot. So far we've discussed the various ofanim of tashlumim, of the chiyav of a shor tam and a shor mu'ad, and we've dealt with issues of kofar and so on. We only briefly mentioned earlier in the Gemara the idea that the Bala Shor Naki may be memayit the chiyav of a shor for dmei vladot. We never really discussed in detail what these dmei vladot are and how we would actually arrive at a value for dmei vladot. And it's about time that we got to that sugya, and here we are. So even though bepashtus we accepted earlier that a shor is potter from dmei vladot entirely, the mashma'ut of this Mishnah is that it's only in a case where the shor was mitkavin lechavero v'ika taisha, so that it was done without kavanah. Now, we saw differences in the chiyav of kofar with kavanah, without kavanah. So maybe that's what the Mishnah means. That we have to see in the Gemara. But if so, it would certainly contradict the assumptions we've made up until this point, that a shor, in general, is potter from dmei vladot. Now, I just want to point out, before we get into the sugya of dmei vladot, a very important nekuda, which if we don't understand, we're going to be left with a lot of confusion. The dmei vladot, if you think about it, shouldn't even be mentioned. In other words, either we take a look at Nezek or we don't take a look at Nezek. I mean, obviously, Nezek includes whatever changes there are in value. Now, if you tell me that there's something magical about Vladot and that they, as opposed to the other cases, which we listed earlier when we made a whole big discussion, and it's interesting that we left out the Dmei Vladot in that discussion, about measuring the entire field and then the change in value due to the loss of that particular row, but not looking at the row separately. We're not looking at the hand of an Evet separately. I mean, if that's the case by the Dmei Vladot, which, of course, one of the issues we're going to need to discuss, so then Dmei Vladot, like anything else, a woman that's pregnant would have more value on the market because of the fact that she's going to possibly deliver additional slaves. And you lost it. I mean, what in the world is this whole discussion? It's like any other Nezek. So clearly we need to understand that in cases where you're truly dealing with Nezek, let's say you damaged an Eved, or a Shivcha in this case, and the Shivcha is pregnant. I don't need a parsha of Dmei Vladot. A Shivcha is worth a certain amount of money with Vladot, or worth less money without Vladot, and that's the damage. What are we talking about? The problem is that the entire idea of Nezek, when it comes to humans, is purely an analogous payment. It is not something real, because a human is not omit to be sold on a slave market. So what we're saying is, what is involved in the tashlumim of Nezek? It is some type of strange relationship that the Torah says, look, there's nothing to do. The human is priceless. We understand that there's no way to give you back really the Nezek. Yes, Tsar maybe on some level we can make it worthwhile, but that too is an analog. Shevet, yeah, I can actually pay you your loss in salary. Ripui, I can pay the doctor bills. But when it comes to Nezek and to Tsar and to Boshet, I'm talking about analogs. There's no real price that I can put on it. There the question becomes, what precisely was included in the chiyuvim of that analog? So it's going one step further, is it not, to say that a woman who really has no value and who is not going to be sold on the slave market, but since if she had been sold on the slave market and if she had been pregnant, then there would have, I mean, that's already one step beyond. Who's to say that we would take that into consideration at all, see? So when it comes to a shivcha, the parsha of Dmei Vladot is irrelevant. A shivcha is like an animal, whatever it is. It is, and we'll discuss this later. Why? Because it's actually omed for sale on a market. Here, the chiddush that a human being should have in it, also Dmei Vladot, that's already something which we need to determine. The fact that a human who damaged Vladot has a certain responsibility to the impregnator, that is a wild idea. Guy impregnates a woman, and now somebody causes her to lose those vladot. All of a sudden, he's paying money to this guy. He's not even her husband. You know, he says, gosh, I didn't know there was money in this. This is, you know, it's great. This is a fantastic idea, you know. So, I mean, it's good all around, as far as I'm concerned. So this is a tremendous chiddush. Now, the shaila is, how does that chiddush apply to a shor? So we saw before, lechora, it doesn't apply at all. Here, the Mishnah is saying, well, it appears that it would apply, except you need kavanah. And we'll see in the Gemara that part about the Kavanah is not an accurate inference of the Mishnah. So we begin by saying a shor who wanted to kill, and the truth is, if you're going to present it, this is the only way to present it, because what's the case that's given in the Torah? People were fighting with each other and accidentally hit a woman. So this now is taking that presentation and saying, Shor, that was attacking another Shor, and the human woman gets in the way. So it's really just paraphrasing now the story in the Torah. So it makes a lot of sense for the Mishnah to take this case, despite the fact that it may lead us to wrong inferences. Okay, so we're taking the pasuk. Now we're saying a Shor was attacking another Shor, was mitkaven l'chaveiro, accidentally hits a woman, she loses her vlad, yatsu yeladeha, patur mitmei vladot. But a human, Adam Shayamit Kavina Kavirovika Teishabayatsu Yeladeha, then he does pay the Mevladot. Now, how do we establish the value of those Mevladot? Now here, again, we have to think about this because there's an awful lot of issues that are really hidden between the lines. Certainly, I don't need a special parsha of the Mevladot to tell me that you're chayef and the tsar. The fact that a woman now is Mapila Vladoteha, so she aborts, that causes pain. So for the pain, I mean, that would be included in the standard dinim. I don't need that, Pasha. That can't be what I'm discussing over here. So the abortion, that lechora, the impregnator, has nothing to do with. That's entirely her business. The vladot, I understand, that's a big chiddush. So now we're talking about the impregnator, a wild idea, a chiddush akra. But there's other issues, if you recall, that we brought up, even in terms of the shor. We spoke earlier about, how about the fact that the shor is fatter? How about that the fact that the shor looks bigger? Now, those are issues that certainly affect any battle, including humans. How are we ignoring that, the Mevladot? How do we look at that? Do we look at that as indeed something, can I have the tissues, please? As indeed something that is part of what the impregnator gets? The fact that a woman looks better when she's pregnant, or that people will think she's healthy or whatever? That would be a strange idea. And that's called Shevach Vladot. That's not called the Mevladot. For some reason, we seem to be ignoring that completely, which is disturbing. Now, there's another issue which also needs to be taken into consideration, and that is that it's not all hunky-dory being pregnant. I mean, certainly you would think that we would need to take into consideration over here the fact that, look, ultimately, these vladot have got to get out of that womb, one way or the other. So that's got to happen. Now, the question over here is if she carries to term, there's a lot of dangers that are involved in carrying to term. So if somebody's going to be buying a woman who's pregnant and knows that there's those dangers involved, then what we're doing is taking into consideration in the price of the woman the elements of the medical issues as well. I mean, how do we ignore that? So what does that have to do with the impregnator? So we have a very, very complex question over here of how to analyze three completely different issues that are not really interrelated. The impact of pregnancy on the body of the woman in terms of the shavach of the body. The impact of the fact of pregnancy on the medical risks that are involved. Which again, I mean, if you're talking about the theoretical sale of a woman on the slave market, then her state of her health is certainly going to be part of that. And nobody's going to ignore the fact that he may be losing this slave to death in pregnancy, which was in delivery, which is very common. So there's that issue. And then there's the fact of the vladot. Do we look at these things separately? But what exactly are we doing here? So the Mishnah asks this apparently innocent question of how is it exactly that we're going to be meishiv the dvei vladot. We have to realize that certainly under the surface is an awful lot of issues that we're going to have to come to and start peeling apart. So Kate said, Mishalem dvei vladot. And it's very simple, says the Tanakhama. Shamina taisha kama hi yafa shelo yalada v'kama hi yafa mishi yalada. We look at how much the woman is worth before and how much the woman is after. Same like any nezek. And that's what he pays. And that's what he pays to the husband, which is wild. Because, I mean, as Rav Shimon ben Gamliel points out, I mean, look, if you mean this across the board, the way it sounds, I mean, mishi shayoledet mishabachat. I mean, one could say, take into consideration even the risks and so on, she's worth more after getting through the delivery than she was worth before. But what kind of crazy way is that to establish the value of the vladot? It's taking into consideration completely other issues. Ela, the only way, if the Torah gives you a chiddush of the Mei Vladot, the only thing that you could possibly do is shaminat ha-vladot. You take a look at the Vladot, you'd ask somebody, or you go onto the market, I mean, eBay would be the best way to do this. No, seriously, the market finds its own price, right? You go and you offer on eBay, look, you can offer kidney on eBay, so you can certainly offer, I mean, they get you, and they don't like it when you use eBay for that, but people do. So you can offer, what would you pay for a baby that is currently in a state of an embryo? And you want to pay whatever, take into account, obviously, the risks that the baby won't make it and so on. So all of that, that's the vladot. So you pay that, and you pay that to the Baal. Notein the Baal, and again, the Baal doesn't mean the husband. The husband, the Baal means the Boel, Haisha. Now, suppose, Ein la Baal, if the Baal, it's very hard to have a baby without a Boel. I mean, we're not talking about a Baal. So, assuming, obviously it doesn't mean over here the normal relationship, but it means Ein la Baal, that he died after impregnating her. So then, Notein li Yorsha, you pay the Yorshim of the Baal. But how about if this woman was a Gioret? But we're assuming that that means she was Nivela to a Ger. Because that's really what counts here. So she, the Baal in this case, had been married as a Ger to a Gioret, or she was a Shifra and she was married to an Eved, and now there's no Baal. So if she is a Shifra that Nishtachra, married an Eved Nishtachra, or a Gioret is married to a Ger, you're Pater. Because since there are no Yorshim, so now you are the one, principle we saw earlier, you, the one who would have to normally be paying the Dmei Vladot, in this case, you're Pater completely. Now, says the Gemara, the first thing is, let's take a look at what the Mishnah says. The Shor was attempting to hit another Shor, and gets, accidentally, a woman gets in the way, well, Mashman, that's the only case. In other words, that if it would be that she wouldn't have gotten in the way, but was the object of the attack, that then you would pay Dmei Vladot. So you're saying, Taimed Amitkavin L'Chaveiro, Amitkavin L'Yishem Ishalem Dmei Vladot? Are you trying to say that actually there is a parsha of Dmei Vladot on a shor, but it requires kavana? I mean, that contradicts what we've seen until now. The truth is, we only had one man diarba. That was Rabbi Barava. We had no indication, as the Rashba points out, that anybody argues on Rabbi Barava, but you can't say that in the Gemara. You can't say, we assume that. So the truth is, we're asking this on everyone because we didn't think any differently. But the source of the halakha is Rabbi Barava, so we ask as if it's a question of Ravada Barava. The Omer Ravada Barava, Shvarim Shinit Kavnu Le'isha Piturim in Mevladot. And that's what we learned out earlier. So shall we say that indeed from this Mishnah he's wrong? Omer Lecha Ravada Barava, the way I understand the Mishnah, is the Mishnah is simply trying to paraphrase the Pasuk in the Torah. So the Mishnah wants to talk about Anashim that are Nitzim one with the other, V'naklu Yishayara. So they're going to be talking, the Mishnah is going to be talking about that case of two humans that were fighting and accidentally hit a woman. So therefore, it says the same case by the Shor, that's all. So then the truth is, a Shor is always part of it, by definition. The reason that the Mishnah took a case of a Shor Shayamit Kavin L'Chaveiro was because the only way to present the case that would be consistent with the Pasuk in the Mishnah was to say in the Mishnah, I did a Kavoy L'mit the Seifa, Adam Shayamit Kavin L'Chaveiro, because that's what it says in the Torah. The Pasuk speaks about a case of mitkavein for something else. So therefore the Mishnah says that's the case. So once the Mishnah wants to contrast the case of Shor to the case of Yumin, it contrasts it in exactly the same way. So katani reisha, nami shor shaya mitkavein l'chaveiro. But it never meant for you to think that that implies that really, if the Shor was mitkavein for Shor, that it would be chayev. It's never chayev. Omer Papa. Shor shenagachat ha-shifcha, v'yatsu yeladeha, mishalem dmei vladot. This is all, says Rav Papa. It's very important to clarify this. Dmei Vladot is only a magical nuclear when it comes to a human being. Because a human being is not omed to be sold. It doesn't have any value. But if you're talking about a human that is, for all intents and purposes, an object, because she is a slave, and not only is she omedetli macher, she's mechura. So the guy that owns her has got extra money invested here because of the fact that she's pregnant. In that case, of course you would pay. It's no different than any other nezer. So shor shenagach et hashifcha v'yatzu yeladeha, mishalem dmei vladot. My time. Chamarta ma'amarta be'alma hi. Look, what is she? She's a pregnant donkey, as far as we're concerned. Because that's the only element of looking at a human as being different is because of the issue of its value. So, I mean, the omer kor shvilachem po im ha'chamor. Im means am hadomeh lechamor, because im is always used in the sense of similarity. So it's not et hachamor. Now obviously, as Tosis points out, this is not meant to imply that a shifcha is not considered to be an Adam. Because, I mean, if we say shor v'lo Adam, if you're going to say, well, I mean, a shifcha is a chamor, so you're chayev in a bor. I mean, that's certainly not true. We say beferish, that you're not chayev on humans. It doesn't matter whether it's an eved, it doesn't matter whether it's a shifcha, it doesn't matter whether it's a free man. So it's clearly not attempting to say that All we're saying is that the meaning of the deer of Shor being not included because of the Bala Shor Naki and the Mev Ladot is where there cannot be conceived a financial ownership. That's all we're saying. By Shifcha, there's a financial ownership. It would have nothing to do with who impregnated her. So if the Torah is stressing a relationship of the impregnator, then obviously we're looking at these Vladot in a way that is beyond the financial. Obviously, right? It's a strikingly strange way of looking at things. There's no way that we would look at a Shifcha impregnated by an Eved as somehow or other there being a magical right of the Eved, that there's no rights to anything over here. It's just money, as far as we're concerned. That's all that it means.
Is it just you pay for it?
I don't understand the question.
I thought we said with the Shifcha in the introduction that, of course you pay for it, but it's part of the normal Nezer, or is it?
It's the same thing. It's a semantic question that you're asking, right? So far, I mean, well, it depends obviously how we're going to analyze the value of the Mei Vladot. But if it's Agav, the woman, so then it's standard Nezer. Ketzed Mishalem, the Mei Vladot. Says the Gemara, now wait a second. That sounded very good, except for the fact that it's much more complicated than you're pretending. If you're going to analyze the difference between the value of the woman before and the value of the woman after, then you're not really analyzing the Mei Vladot. You're also analyzing the Shevach Vladot, because you're analyzing the changes in the woman's own body, which is not directly the Vladot, and you're including that, because she looks healthy and she looks big, you're including that in something that the Baal is going to be paid. And you're pretending that that's the Dmei Vladot, which it's not. So why do you say Dmei Vladot? You should say Dmei Vladot v'shevach Vladot, mi boilei. That's what it means. Harkinami ka'amah. Ketzon mishalem Dmei Vladot v'shevach Vladot. Shamina ta'isha kame yafa shelo yalada. V'kame yafa mishi yalada. Now that leads directly, this is a beautifully constructed Gemara, that leads us directly into the question of what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is saying, which is, of course, the next piece of the Mishnah. Tainas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, what? Im kein mi ha-shaisha yoledet mishabachat? She's worth more? So you're going to tell me that she's got to pay him? What's he trying to say? I mean, what are they arguing about the realities? Amar Rav Achikama. V'chi isha mishabachat kodim sheteleid, yoter mi la'achar sheteleid. V'alo isha mishabachat li'achar sheteleid, yoter mi kodim sheteleid. If what you're saying is that all we need to do, I mean, if he's saying, the way we understood it initially, is that he is saying that no, actually, it's the opposite. I mean, that's a very silly kind of machlokas. I mean, we're certainly not saying that the Vladot are not worth anything. But what he's saying is, if you want to look at this holistically, in terms of the woman, then you obviously need to take into consideration the medical risks that are associated with the woman. You can't separate out purely in a sale how much was this woman worth on the open market sans any medical risks. But how in the world do you do that? So therefore, it doesn't make sense. You're talking about different components. You're pretending that the market would be able to find its place with those differences. I mean, it's simplistic. Ela shamina tavladot. The only thing you can do is you've got to separate out the pieces over here. In which case, you got to figure out how much you could sell the baby for on eBay, and that's what you pay. Minot in the Baal. Tani nami achi, v'chi isha mishabachat kodem sheteleid yoter mishal akar sheteleid. V'lo isha mishabachat akar sheteleid yoter mikodem sheteleid. Indeed, the Braita points out that if you're going to take into consideration medical risks, people are not willing to take those risks and put out good money for a shivcha who may be dead in 2 months. Why would I do that? Let's wait and see what happens. There you go. So this is Rabba's approach to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is discussing the medical risks and therefore claims there's no way to holistically analyze the vlad in terms of the mother and separating out the medical risks. Rabba Amar? Rabba says, no, actually, what Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was referring to was the simplistic way that we threw the Shevach Vladot together with the Dmei Vladot and pretended that goes to the Baal, which doesn't make any sense. So this is what he was saying. He was saying, v'chi'isha l'mi she'yoledet mishabachat. You're telling me that the isha only is worth more pregnant to the guy who impregnated her? And v'ein la'atzma v'shevach vladot klum? So in other words, as far as the impregnator is concerned, all of a sudden he's the owner of the additional value in her body? That's insane. She is the one who has to carry these vladot, which for some reason the Torah wants to award the silly male who made them. But now all of the changes in her body that are involved in the pregnancy and the additional fat and volume and so on, which make her look worth more, that doesn't go to her? That's also going to go to him. That's crazy. Why would that be? Ella, I say, we have to separate out these issues. You have to be shaminat avladot separately. Okay, what are the vladot worth on eBay? Okay, but by the way, this is all Rashi's approach. Other Rishonim learn, even according to this, we're not going to sell the vladot on eBay. What we're going to do is we're going to analyze the market value for the woman in different ways. That's what we're going to do. So we're going to say, we're going to provide you insurance for complete return of your money if the woman doesn't survive the delivery, let's say, right? So that way we can analyze the value with vladot, without vladot. We're going to talk about separating out how much is a woman worth without your being able to see the woman, with vladot or without vladot, in which case we won't take into consideration the fact that she's near a yoter, and so on and so forth. Because again, we never found that we have a right, according to these Rishonim, as we mentioned earlier in the Gemara, of separating out elements, because then they can end up being worth more, which is irrational. It's not really the vladot that we're talking about. Now, obviously, Rashi here holds that the very chiddush of the mei vladot, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, includes the ability to separate out the vladot from the woman. So therefore, we have three separate components. We have the medical dangers, we have the additional value in her body, and we have the value of the vladot. So according to Rava, the dmei vladot per se goes to the Baal. The shevach vladot is partially because, as we saw earlier, the expansion of the body due to the presence of the vlad, that we split. So some goes to the Baal, and some goes to her. And this now is Rava's approach. Tanya Amihachi, Om Reb Shimon Galil, here Reb Shimon Galil makes it very clear. He uses the word not yoledet, but lemish yoledet. It's exactly what Rava was saying. Are you trying to tell me, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, that the woman's pregnancy is only nogea, the guy who got her pregnant? Lemisha yoledet mishabachat? And what? Ein la atzma b'shevach vladot klum? Doesn't she get anything out of the pregnancy, which is her own body? Ela shamin nezek b'fnei atzmo. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we're talking about over here the actual nezek to her body, which is she's weaker because of the fact that she had to abort these fetuses. Okay, so that's nezek, straight out, classical nezek. Tsar b'fnei atzmo, you told me she didn't suffer? I mean, everybody's going to agree to that. We're certainly not saying that the Torah cancels nezek and tsar. That's crazy. So the same way, there's all kinds of payments hidden under the surface here that we're not talking about while we discussed the mei vladot. We were theorizing about the mei vladot. Well, the same thing is true about the shevach vladot. We have to be sham et ad the vladot separately. That we give to the Baal. We have to be sham the shevach vladot. And the shevach vladot, we have to be chokim. So, there we go. This makes it very, very clear that Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying exactly what it was that Rava said he was saying. Wait a minute. So then, I don't get it. So now he's contradicting himself? Kasha Reb Shimon Gamliel, other Reb Shimon Gamliel? Here he's talking about Shevach Vladot as, in fact, being worth more money, right? And he says that it's worth so much money, you're choking. So then that means that he is saying that indeed the woman is worth more on the slave market, pregnant than not pregnant. But I mean, Reb Shimon Gamliel also made the statement that that's not a fair thing to say, because we always have to take into consideration the medical risks. How all of a sudden did he make this statement, which is menugad, to the statement the way we saw it in the Mishnah? Something's funny over here. Says the Gemara, no, kasha. The medical risks differ according to the case. Kan b'mevakeret, kan b'she'ena mevakeret. And indeed it's possible that Rava and Rab are not even arguing. They're discussing different cases, as some of the Rishonim suggest. That in a case where this is the first pregnancy, she's a mevakeret, the medical risks are much higher. She's not proven to be able to carry the term and to deliver. People are very reluctant to invest in a shivcha of that kind. So there the medical risks outweigh the additional value of the shevach vladot. That's what Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying. There is no holistic way of making a determination of the mei vladot because the risks are too high. The other case where we're talking about what to do with a putative Shevach Ladot, which apparently didn't exist according to the first approach, is to say that we're talking about a case where she's already proven to have delivered safely. Therefore, the risks are much lower, so the statistics are lower. Because of that, at that point, the Shevach Ladot now outweigh the medical risks. So we're talking about two different cases. Which case, Rabba's case, Rava's case, both may be true. There's different elements in what Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying. And the Mishnah ends up being a heck of a lot more sophisticated actuarially than we ever thought was hidden within it. So now we've identified payments of Nezek, payments of Tsar, of course anything else that would be involved, including Ripui, Shevet, that's assumed, take it for granted. Then we've got the Vladot as a separate issue. Then we have the medical risks and the balance with the Shevach Vladot, which over there now turns out to be a Chokin. Perhaps, sure. Whatever changes are there, that's part of the nezek. V'rabbonim, v'amri shevach v'adot nami labal, my taima. Why did the Rabbonim indeed have such a simplistic view that they say, no, just look at it holistically, which would end up giving the entire shevach v'adot to the Baal? Why does that make sense? My taima, what's the makor for such a thing? Yet it's not. Ah, mimashmash ne'amar. It's very interesting. It should say, kitetanya, this is a brayta. The Rabbonim darshan, if the Pasuk says, V'nakfu isha v'yatzul yiladeha, it does not take much imagination to realize that she was pregnant. How does it? So why do you have to say a pregnant woman if you're about to talk about, and she aborts? I mean, obviously she was a pregnant woman. So why talk about the hara? So any yodea, can I figure out myself that if she aborts, that she was pregnant? Ma tamaloma hara, aha. Obviously, the Torah is addressing the pregnancy. Aha! Beautiful deal. In which case, the pregnancy, which is the Shevach Vladot, not the Vladot, which we're talking about openly, but the hint of the Hirayon per se, which is the Shevach Vladot, is also an incredible Kiddush HaKro, Lomar Lecha, Shevach Hirayon also goes to the Baal. Wow. Hey, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that is a heck of a drasha. So, I haramai darishbe. What are you going to do with that drasha? Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mibayelei Lekidetanya. I learned something else out of there. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, Leolam Eino Chayav, Ad Sheyakena Keneged Beit HaYirayon. We have to recognize that the din of Dmei Vladot is only where the impact was actually on the womb, but causing an abortion, general weakening, an overall shock reaction. That's a grama. And over there, the Torah is not mechayev you. So therefore, it stresses hara to make it clear that the impact was on an isha hara directly, and not simply that there was causation of some other things that happened, including the loss of Rav Ladot. For that, you wouldn't be chayev. Says Rav Papa, by the way, that doesn't mean literally you've got to hit her in the uterus. Lo teme keneged beit hirayon mamish. What it means is anywhere in the actual body, other than the extensions of the body, wherever the impact would be transmitted directly to the embryo, leafuke yad v'rega. If you hit her it's anywhere on the torso, you would be chayav. But if you hit her on a hand, on a foot, and now she weakens because of it, then you'd be put.
About the head, you hit her in the head, that's also the...
It doesn't get shichma. Shichma means direct impact. So it's viewed as a groma.
O Gioret, Patur.
Amar Rabba. Rabba makes an incredible statement over here. We took the Mishnah to read, like it always does, that if there's nobody to inherit, so then the guy who's going to owe the money, who's he going to pay it to? So then obviously, there's no heir, he keeps the money. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Says Rabba, now wait a minute. It has to be talking about that the impregnator, who was a ger, was alive at the time of the event, and then he died. Because then he was zocha in the money, and now there's no heir. So whoever basically is supposed to pay the money can keep the money. But suppose the ger died before the event. What about there? So if he was chava babakaya ger or meta ger, since kivan de chava babakaya ger, it's as if the ger was zocha in the money. So therefore, when the ger dies, kiva de beta ger, so he can keep the money like anybody else can walk into the house of the ger and take anything. So zakhava min ha ger. But suppose he was chaval ba,
Le'achar mitat ha'ger. How about if the ger wasn't even alive at the time of the event? So then the Torah was never mezakeh the ger because he's not there. So then she gets to keep the money because then she's the one who's in possession of everything that the ger owns in this case because it's her body. So you got to pay her. So zakhila ihi figavayu umechayev l'shalumila ledida. So then you'd have to pay her. Omer of Chisti. Good Lord. Mari Dichi. Who the heck said that? What are you thinking? This makes absolutely no sense. I mean, you're looking at it. I don't know. Somebody has to explain to him that the door.
It's his loyalty factor. He feels like he puts the door on your
own. He's loyal. That's true. Atu. Vladot Srori, you're treating the Vladot over here as if they're cash. What are you saying? You're saying, well, okay, here's the cash. So she is the first one to get the cash. That's absolutely crazy. The Torah came up with this wild idea of paying an impregnator money for Vladot. Never said anything about a woman owning the Vladot. It's not as if the cash was paid already, that she could be zocha to the Vladot. The Vladot are not deposited in a safe deposit box, which she's the first one to grab because she is it. So what kind of weird idea is this? How could she be zocha in the need for somebody else to pay? Why would you have to pay her? Who is she? She's not the Baal. She's not the guy who got her pregnant. She's not a safe deposit box for the payment, which was never made. So, therefore, I say, out of Vladot, Srorinino Vizachibu, do the Vladot represent the sack of money, which now she's Zocha? Therefore, Ite Le Baal Zachale Rachmana, if the Baal exists, then the Torah gives that value to him. Lete Le Baal, there's no impregnator available, love, nobody gets the money. Meite. Hikaita Isha, V'yatsul Yiladea. No te nezek v'tzar le'isha. Okay, so far so good. Udme Vladot Lebal. Ein Habal. You've got to recognize the physical mechanisms of vibrations in the air that we call sound. They really don't mind at all whether you're supposedly inside or outside. As far as they're concerned, it's free passage. You have to put something in the way. So whether it's the telephone and the hello is at the open door, or whether it's an uneven petach, close the door. Okay. So here it says, the nezek and the tzar goes to the woman. The vladot go to the impregnator. Ein abal, no impregnator. No tein li yorshav, give it to the yorshim. Ein aisha, no woman. Give it to the yorshim of the woman, meaning the nezek and the tzar. If she was a shivcha v'nishtachara, o giyoret, so then, zacha mashma, that basically, since we're saying, in the Mishnah we didn't talk about nezek and tzar. All of a sudden we're talking about nezek and tzar. Now nezek and tzar obviously would be paid whether it happened while the impregnator was around, not around, it's irrelevant. So in the same way that nezek and tzar would be paid to her, irrelevant of the presence of the impregnator, the mashmaut is that so too would the dmei vladot be given to her if the impregnator is not around, just like the nezek and the tzar. Says the Gemara, okay, I mean, that's a very interesting assumption, but it certainly is not absolutely necessary to make that. I mean, it's not really bi'adifa mi'matnitin. I mean, the Mishnah says the same thing. This doesn't mention nezek and tzar, as Tosis explains. But basically, in the same way in the Mishnah, you understood the Mishnah to mean that the event of the Kabbalah took place while the ger was alive and then he died. Why can't that be the meaning here? That if, in fact, the money was already owed, so then she could keep the money. That's all it's saying. So if chaval b'chayei ager, and then meit ager. So achinami shechaval b'chayei ager, who meit ager. Well, you know what? I have another explanation. V'ibay tema even li'achar mitat ager. And the thing to say is, utni zachta, whoever gets the schut, meaning she. Not the other person. She is Zachta. Now, Rav Chisda apparently thought it was outrageous. Absolutely mad. Mori Dechi. Mori Dechi means the owner of this ma'amar, so to speak. Is it, I mean, who would make a dumb statement like this? It's like almost an expletive. See, he thinks it's outrageous. The rabbi goes ahead and says, oh, it seems to be very reasonable that she would be Zocha That's the way Rabba understands it. I'm sorry, Rabba, not Rabba. And that Zachta, she is Zocher. So, I mean, maybe in fact it's a machlokas tanoim, and it's not so outrageous. Because, well, take a look at this brayta. Bat Yisrael she niseit leger, minitab rabbi menu. So Bat Yisrael is impregnated by a ger, and now somebody comes, v'chavalba, and now she gets hit, v'chayei ager, and there's a demei v'ladot problem. And note that it says, v'chayei ager, okay? So then, notein demei v'ladot leger. But, who does it go to? Li'achar mitat ager. Ah, here we have two brayta. Tani chada, so one brayta reads, if the ger died, you're still chayav to pay. And Tani Chada, no, you're putter to pay. Now, how do you read that? What do you mean you're still chayav to pay? There's no ger. How could you be chayav to pay? You were zochin it. Therefore, it must be my lav tanoi nino. Clearly, the machlokas over here is, are you chayav to pay her? So in other words, one man the armor is going, I'll leave it to Rabba, and he's saying, you're chayav to pay her. The other man the armor is going, I'll leave it to Rukisa. Now, certainly, the Rabba vadai tanoi. Rabba is going to have to admit that there's at least one Tana here that is saying that you're putter completely if the ger died. Okay. But at least he can say, what I said, I'll leave it the other Tana. But to Rav Chisda, this should be absolutely shocking. Rav Chisda was the one who was saying, this is crazy. And here there's a Tana, apparently, that seems to be saying like Rabba. Must we say that, asks the Gemara. According to Rav Chisda, is there a way out? Milema Tanoi, shall we indeed say that it's a machlokas tanoim? No, said Reb Chisda lo kasha. What Reb Chisda will say to you is, of course everybody agrees to what I'm saying. You're potter on demei vladot. Machlokas over here was about shevach vladot. We saw earlier that there was a machloket rabban and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel about whether the woman herself has rights to the shevach vladot. So one man, Yom HaZak Rabbanan, who in the Mishnah were very simplistic, they said the shevach vladot goes to the Baal, in this case the ger. No ger, no shevach vladot. Whereas the one who says, no, you're still chayav, that's because shevach vladot go to the woman. So what's the difference whether the guy is alive or not? That's all. Nothing to do with the issue of demei vladot at all. Huh. That's one very simple approach. So I don't have to say what you thought. Harabonah Rav Shimon Gamliel, says the Gemara. Oh, now, wait a minute. So then, this is an awfully complicated way to tell me a very simple halacha. Create a case where the impregnator was a ger, and then the ger died, and just tell me. Can't argue about whether, in the case of a husband, regular guy, who's alive, does he get the shevach vladot or not? I mean, to tell me that this is the machloket is the most roundabout way of getting to an issue that's imaginable. So think about, how can you say that? I mean, Irib Shimon Gamliel, what do we create the case where the guy's a ger, he died? You'd be giving half when he's alive to discuss that machloket. But you see, you don't understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if he was alive, then she would only be getting half. But now that he's dead, what the Braita is saying is that she gets it all. Now, of course, this immediately starts alarms going in your brain. Because if you're ready to say that when he's dead, she's zocha in the half that was his, then you might as well say that she's zochet to the demei vladot also. Because now, I mean, before we said, no, that's crazy. I mean, why would she be zochet to the demei vladot? So we're trying to get out of that, right? Reb Chisda is saying, no, that's crazy. But now we're forcing him into a position of saying, actually, everybody agrees with me. The thing is that we're talking about a case over here, le'achar mitah. Why? Because then, she's zochet to the whole thing. Wait a minute. I thought your whole point is that she can't be zochet to more. Just because the impregnator died, than she would have before, because it's not Sorori. So now, this teretz is a very weird teretz. We're going to have to discuss this. Mm-hmm. But what the Gemara is saying right now is that Mechayim, you have Palka, but Le'achar Mitah, Kule. Well, you know what? Maybe there's another teretz. It avoids this issue. It's both going, I'll leave it up, Shimon Gamliel. The brayta that says you get nothing, you got to pay her, is talking about Shevach Vladot. The brayta that says, get nothing, is talking about the Mei Vladot. Says the Gemara, but I want to go back to what you said before. You're not going to get away. We're trying to change the subject with another answer. I want to understand that first answer. I mean, the second answer is also assuming maybe that she gets the whole thing. I don't know. Look, Mishevach Vladot, Lishama the Mei Vladot. I mean, if you're ready to say that Reb Shimon Gamliel is willing to give her, in a case where the Baal no longer is alive, the other half of the Shevach Vladot. So why doesn't he give it to the Mei Vladot? And you know what? For that matter, once you're ready to say a crazy thing like that in Reb Shimon Gamliel, so then that means that Reb Chista's horror at the thought that the Mei Vladot are not Sroria and she's not a safety deposit box, his whole assumption crumbles. If he's ready to say it in Reb Shimon Gamliel, what the heck? You might as well go ahead and say it in the Rabbanah. So his whole position falls apart. This Teretz undermines everything that he said. So now you should say, Reb Shimon Gamliel, if you're telling me Shevach Vladot, you might as well get to Dmei Vladot. And if you're ready to say to Reb Shimon Gamliel, why not say it in the Rabbanan? So, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Lishama Rabbanan. No, says Reb Chista. Not true. There's a tremendous difference, you see. The Shevach Vladot is not the same as the Dmei Vladot. Because the Shevach Vladot, Shaicha Yada Begavayim, it's clear from the fact that initially we were going to split it between him and her, that we understand that her body is her own. And therefore, in terms of giving the Baal something, it's because we're giving him a right that she has. Sans him, her rights. That's the point. But when it comes to Dmei Vladot, now there you got a different issue. The Dmei Vladot, on the other hand, that she never had any chelek in. By the way, note the level of sophistication, as opposed to the placards that people carry around. Our bodies, as if therefore the pregnancy is also, that's a different issue. Is the pregnancy, is the products of the pregnancy. You can carry around placards as much as you want. You're not addressing the fact that a pregnancy is parasitical upon your body. So the very fact of pregnancy, you never are able to say, hey, it's my body, kid, scram. That's the whole issue of biology. All of a sudden we're denying biology. Here the Torah is coming to address those issues. It's amazing. Things people don't even think about. The nonsense of it. The childishness of it. You go through a Gemara, forces you to split up the issues in very concrete ways. What is our body, ourselves, and what is not? And by definition, pregnancy is never our body, ourselves. The complex interaction of a parasitical embryo that forces your body to take on additional weight to ensure its survival in the event of a famine after its birth, which is lovely, but may not be something you want, you only share it. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing, that the way that these issues are broken down here in the Mishnah. Positively astounding things that people literally haven't thought of until, you know, the past 20 years, maybe 30 years. Half of a fellow. Once again, thousands of years ahead of the rest of the world. All right. Rav Yeba Sava mi Rav Nachman. Now, Rav Yeba Sava asks Rav Nachman as follows. We're talking about being zocha in something that was the ger's. Now, you made me start thinking with this whole thing. Because, I mean, be'etzem, what Rava was saying is that if there's no ger, then she becomes the owner of the chiyuvim of tashlumim to the ger. Fascinating. Because the closest I can come to that is a case where a guy runs into a ger's house who dies, grabs his bonds. So now he's got a mortgage against somebody. This guy figures if he grabs the mortgage, he says, now I'm the owner of the mortgage. So now I'm going to come and collect what would have been given to the ger. That's what it sounds like. Now, when it comes to something like that, definitely you do not have a right to the mortgage for a very simple reason. A mortgage represents a lien. The first one who gets to the lien is the guy who owns the car. You see. So in that case, here, the one who owns both the lien and the carcass, so to speak, is the woman's body. There I can understand, you might say, like Rabbi, that you got to pay the woman. But in the case of the mortgage, the one who's there first is the one who already has the field that the mortgage was against. So you're only, the instant the ger dies, he now was the one who now owns the lien against his own field, because it was his field. So it ain't going to help you to grab the contract. Fine. So therefore, I have an interesting question once my mind started working. The contract was written on this beautiful parchment. It's worth a buck. Does he get to keep the parchment? Or if somebody else takes the parchment away from him, he can keep the parchment. I'll tell you what my issue is. My issue is like this. Hamasik b'shtarotov shel ger, mahu. I mean, do we say that man de mahasik b'shtara adaita di arahu de mahasik, u ba'ara halo ichzik? Do we say that, well, obviously he's not thinking about getting a nice piece of parchment to wrap a gift in. He's thinking about money, and he's going to use this, he thinks in his mind, to collect the mortgage, which he isn't. Okay, obviously, there's no way to be mahzik in the mortgage. So therefore, Shtar Nami Lokani didn't get any rights to the parchment either. The Lav Daite Ashtar, he wasn't thinking about the parchment. Odilma Daite Nami Ashtar, do we say, well, no, I mean, look, you know, it's always useful. Omar Le, Ani Mori, please, Rebbe, answer me. I'd like you to tell me, does he need this parchment to wrap the gift in? I mean, why would he be Zeche? Omar Le, Latsur, the Latsur, absolutely. What do you think? That people don't have minds to take whatever they can out of a situation? Go ahead and use it to wrap a gift or to cover up a bottle of perfume. Omar Rabba, just to clarify, Mashkonosha Yisrael B'yad Ger. So I think it's true. Let's say you gave a mashkin, and you gave this mashkin to a ger. The ger dies. Another Yisrael comes along and says, great, look at this mashkin. Now I'll be the owner of the mashkin. So comes along Yisrael Acher V'Yechzikbo. We take it away from him. Why? Because the mashkin is a representation of a lien in which you have your ability to collect your lien out of this mashkin. But if the lien disappears, then darn it, so does the mashkin. And in this case, kiva de mitle ger, the moment that the ger dies, the owner of the loan, so to speak, the guy who's supposed to pay it back, is now the collector of the lien himself, who's more in place to have that lien. You don't know anything. Well, I mean, unless he had heirs subsequently. Yeah, obviously. But we're talking about where his children are Goyim, or not related to him, even if they were Begayim. Obviously, if he had children. The reason we talk about a ger is because it's impossible not to have heirs. The only person who could not have heirs is a ger, who didn't have children after his giyur. But any Jew has heirs because everybody is related through generations before of Jews, where it will become due to his cousins or to his uncles or whatever. The bank keeps it, like it always does anyway. Why not? He gave you money. Okay, so what are you going to do? Throw it into the grave to burn? What? Oh, you mean like the state of Israel? They declare they own everything. I mean, Halakar Kain Yisrael should get the money. Why not?
Before he died, he should have given it away.
Absolutely.
Can he make a condition that 1 minute?
Yes, absolutely. He could be a smart ger.
He was a smart ger.
That's true. What do you mean? Is that the din? Of course it's the din. You mean, it, does the state allow that din to go into effect? That's a different issue. Of course not. All right. Omar Rabba, so Mashkenosho Yisrobi Ad Ger, Meta Ger, Bo Yisrael Akrazimo, Tino Tamiyado, my Taima, the moment that the Ger dies, Pokaleshi Buddha, the Mashkenosho Ger Biyad Yisrael. Now, if a Ger gives a Mashken into a Jew's hand, and the Ger dies, and now somebody else grabs it before the Yisrael himself gets it, so the guy who owned the Mashken against a loan, so that part against the loan is his automatically. The moment the ger dies, it always is to collect from. Now that the ger dies, it's as if it's collected. But any excess, that gets to be kept by the person who grabbed it. What? How am I? Understand, if it was in this other guy's house, so why does this person who comes running to grab it after the ger dies, he's the second in the row over here. I mean, the first guy to get it was the guy who had it the whole time, no? I mean, doesn't Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina say, Chatziro shel Adam konelo shelomi da'ato? I mean, you're saying, oh, well, he didn't know that the ger died, so. The din isn't that you need to know. The din is that your chatzir can act in your benefit even without your knowledge. So how could another guy get it from you? Amri, Achmai, Eskina, the lete. We're talking about over here that this guy is out of town. And therefore, Kolecha de'ite l'dide. The principle is this. A chatzir can act as your agent if theoretically you could have done the same thing. So if you could have picked up the mashkin to be zochen it, had you known that the ger died, your chotzer could pick it up for you without knowing that the ger died. But if you're out of town and you yourself can't pick it up, then your chotzer can't act for you. So therefore, kolecha the itiliti day, in which case iboy makne, if he had wanted to, motzi kani, so then kanya leinami chatzero, but kolecha the lete liti day, in which case, even if he had wanted to be makne, lo matzikani, in that case, chatzero, the chotzer can act on his benefit, and chatzero nami lo kanya. The din is, yokata, the lete b'chatzero, that this applies only to a case, the other person is zocha, only in a case where he's not around, and therefore, it's lo kana. Now the question over here is, Tosis raises the question about whether this is talking perhaps about a chatzer she'ena mishtameret, which we always said, if the person isn't there to be shomer the chatzer, so then eino chinami, clearly it doesn't act as a chatzer lebegeina. Maybe chatzer mishtameret, even if it's not around personally, but a chatzer mishtameret would be enough to be keina. That already is a complex sugya to be gotten into the dinim of kinyanim, not here in Baba Kama. Whereas an Adam Shaya bitkaven lachaviro v'yikate shavi yatsuri ladea, mishalem de mei v'ladot. Ketzad mishalem de mei v'ladot. Shamin et ha'isha, kama yiyafat shelo yalada, v'kama yiyafa mishi yalada. Omer, remembering him, Leon, no, let's stop being simplistic. Imken mishi isha yalada b'shapachat. Elo shamin et ha'vladot kama yiyafi, v'notein labal. If ain la baal not in yoshav, but I tashivcha v'nishtachera okiyoret, that patur. So you're saying time it is mitkaven l'chaviro, but had the shor be mitkaven directly to the isha, then the din would be indeed that mishalem d'beivladot. Laimet avet yufte the ravada barava. Dom ravada barava shvarim shnitkavenu l'isha piturim d'beivladot. The truth is, the only reason that we say Shor Shai Mekavei L'Chaviro is because since Adi Rabbi Elamit is Seifa, Adam Shai Mekavei L'Chaviro, and the reason we want to say that is because that's the possible. Dog David Croy, Katani Reshinami, Shor Shai Mekavei L'Chaviro. Omer Papa Shor Shinagachat Hashivcha V'yatsu Yeladea for sure B'Shalim D'Mei V'Ladot. My time, Chamarta Mabarta B'Almo D'Yazit. How about the medical issues? Separately, So now we have two brighter the Rishim Gamliel that contradict each other. So Kasha Rishim Gamliel and Rishim Gamliel? No, not Kasha. Kad ben Mevakeret, where the medical risks are higher, and Kan b'she'ina Mevakeret. Rabbona, the Amr Shevach Ladot, go to the Baal. Isn't that strange? My time. Kiritzan. V'mashmash she'ne'amar v'yatsu yiladeha. Eini yodea shihara. Mata melomar hara. Lomar laka that even the Shevach Hirayon goes to the Baal. Rav Shimon Gamliel, hai hara, my darish be. V'boi leila kiritanya. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer. V'olam eno chayav. Ad sheyakena kedeged. Beta Hirayon, Omer of Papa, by the way, that doesn't mean literally. Loteme Geneg Beta Hirayon Mamach, Alakalaycha, the Solik Pei Shichma, the blood, it's only coming Lafuki Yad Varegel, the law. Haitashiv Chavinishtach, Rabbi Yoret Patur, Omer Rabba, this is only Chavalba, Bechaye Ager, Meta Ger, Kimin the Chavalba, Bechaye Ager, Zachabu Ger, now Kimin the Meta Ger. So there's nobody to be zocher. It's a zocher min ager. But chaval ba leyachem itat ager. So then she's the one who gets it. Umechayim leshulam el ledida. Amr chista mori techi. This is nuts. Otu vladot zorin inu vezachem biu. Ridiculous. Ite laval zocher lerachmona. Let it laval. Nobody gets it. Meitre. Kaita isha veyatzul yaldeha. Notei nezik v'tzar liyisha. Udmei v'ladot v'baal. Ein ha-baal, noten liyoshav. Ein ha-isha, noten liyoshav. Hayta shifcha v'nishtachra, o giyoret, zacha. Ha! Mi adifa, mi adita. Tukim shechaval b'bechay ager umet ager. Hachanami shechaval b'bechay ager umet ager. V'baitema, maybe it's even the achamitat ager, and it's talking about she being zocha. Like I always said, said Rava, you read zachta, not zacha. Let me get to know. Pat Yisrael should be safe given it Abram imeno v'chaval b'bechay ager. No tain to me vladot lager. Liachamitata ger. Now there we have two brights. Tani chada chayav, tani chada patur. Apparently we have a machloket tanoi. So according to Rabbah, there's no way out. Vadai tanoi. Lurav chista. Must we agree that it's machloket tanoi? No. Okasha. Or Rabbanim Shimingam Leo, and the reference is to Shevach vladot. Hirab Shimingam Leo. It's got nothing to do with liachamitata. It would be even Mikhail Nami. Ah, Mechaim itlay palga leachar mitar yesh lakula vibaitema hava Reb Shimingam Leo. One is a reference to shevach vadot which she gets, and one is a reference to dmei vadot which she doesn't get. Says Reb Chista. Well, but Amri mi shevach vadot lishama dmei vadot. And once you're ready to entertain such a thought, Reb Shimingam Leo, so that you can entertain it in the Rabbanan. No. Shevach vadot, shaycha yadda begavayu. There, zacha babakulo, if there's no husband. But the dmei vadot, the lo shaycha yadda begavayu, at all, there lo zacha buklal. Boy, minei revie vesava miram nachma. Hamachazik b'shtorotav shogir, mao. Man the machazik b'shtora, is it only adaita de yaro hu de machazik? And certainly ba'aro halo yachzik. Therefore, shtar anami lo kana at all. The lav daite yashtora. Odilma daiti nama yashtar. Ta amale ani mori. Bechila tzura putz luchutu. Tzichut hau tzarek. Amale, why not? Lotzur v'lotzur. Amar Rabba. Mashkano shal Yisrael biyad ger. Umeita ger. Uba Yisrael acher v'yirzik po. Motzino to miyado. My taima. Kiva demit le ger. Paka le shibuda. But mashkano shal ger biyad Yisrael. Umeita ger. Uba Yisrael acher v'yirzik po. זה קנה כנגד מאותו, וזה קנה את השם. ואמר, תקנה לחצרו, אמר רבי יוסף רבי חנינה, חצרו של אדם קונה לו שלא מדעתו. אמר יחמא יסקינה, דלטה, כל אחד איתו לדידי, דיבוי מקנה מוצי קוני, קניה לינה בחצרו. כל אחד דלטה לדידי, דיבוי הולה מקנה לא מוצי קוני, חצרו נביא לא קניה, ואוכתה דלטה בחצרו, דלו קנה.